Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 125, Interview with Joe Workman. Joe is a software developer and loves to make your life better by developing cool things. He also runs an online community called The Weaver Space and coaches soccer. Did I mention he also loves hats? In this episode of Getting Work to Work, Joe and I discuss work-life balance, how he approaches his development work, the sources of his inspiration and ideas, business advice for creative professionals, and the story behind his favorite hat. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/125. Getting Work to Work is brought to you by Chris Martin Studios, a video production company telling stories with heart, edge, and fearlessness for those who dare to build a better world. Keep in touch with Chris Martin Studios by signing up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter at gwtw.co/125. By doing so, you'll receive my two latest guides, DIY Documentary and Build Your Platform, as well as weekly inspiration and ways to increase your creativity, curiosity, and wonder. All right, you ready for this interview with Joe? Let's get into it. Joe, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and share a little about what you do?
Sure. Thanks, Chris, for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast. It's a really exciting time. So my name is Joe Workman, obviously, as you said, and I develop software, primarily RapidWeaver add-ons. So RapidWeaver is a web design app for Mac, and I've been designing add-ons for that for since 2009. And I've been doing it full time since 2011. So really exciting. I do have a couple other Mac apps, Domain Brain and an app called Climate that's on the App Store for the Mac. But primarily I develop add-ons for RapidWeaver. And yeah, that's what I do. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. In reading your bio on joeworkman.net, I get the sense that you've discovered the elusive work-life balance. So what's the secret?
You know, to be honest, the secret is not to worry about a balance. You know, I felt for years and years that that elusive work-life balance, you had to have it. But what I've kind of learned over the years is that you just need to come and kind of integrate the two things. I mean, work is life and life is work. And I have three kids and I go to every single one of their field trips.
Oh, wow.
And every single, you know, so it's not like I'm like, oh, that's my work time. You know, I can't go to a field trip. No, it's like, it's one of the opportunities that I have being in Indy is that I can be there and go to every field trip and go on the, you know, the outdoor eds that are a week long and be there. And that's part of the reasons I did this entire thing was so that I could be there with my family. Right. Mm-hmm. So I kind of interweave work in life. So it's like, you know, if I'm sitting at a soccer game and my kid's warming up, I have nothing else to do. I'll crack open my iPad or my iPhone and answer a few support emails, right? I mean, that's what I talk about integrating life. So it's like whenever I have a little bit of time here and there, I get a little bit of work done while I'm enjoying life as well. Obviously, there are times I work really late at night sometimes. Some weeks, stuff just hits the fan, as we all know. And sometimes I just need to say, you know what? I'm not going to get as much work done this week, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to succumb to life. And there are times where I work my bones off all week long and hardly leave this office, right? So there is no balance, I feel. It's just integration is the important thing that I feel.
Hmm. I like the sense of integration too, because it allows, I imagine, your kids to see what you do and how hard you work, but also gives them the ability to see you step away from it and not be a slave to it.
Yeah. You know, like right now I got three kids downstairs. I have a wide open office. So I'm like, yo guys, I'm going to be on this podcast. You got to be quiet for the next hour. Okay. And then after this afternoon, we're going to go on a cool long bike ride, you know? Nice. So, you know, it's just, they're great kids.
That's really cool. Do you think you're more successful because of the time that you spend away from your computer?
You know, that's a great question. A lot of times, you know, I do come up with some of my best ideas when I step away. Mm. You know, a lot of times when you're working on something and you're just like stuck, you can't get it figured out. I have learned just stepping away, even if it's just going for a walk around the block, or I tell my wife, you know what, I'm going to go pick up the kids just because I need to step away, get away from it all. And a lot of times I'm just driving and all of a sudden it's just like the solution just ping, you know, right in your head. And you're like, oh yeah, you know? So yes, I do think stepping away from, you know, work and especially if you're working on a problem right now and you can't solve it, mm-hmm. instead of just, I can't say I do that all the time, right? Sometimes you just try to Paul drive through it and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to fix this thing, you know? But yeah, you know, just stepping away from it sometimes is such a huge lifesaver because it really does save your sanity sometimes. And it does come, a lot of times you come up with a better solution as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So you mentioned earlier that you develop add-ons for RapidWeaver, mm-hmm. and I'm not actually familiar with RapidWeaver. So would you be willing to tell me a little bit about what RapidWeaver is and why you decided that this was the tool for you?
Sure. So years ago, I've kind of been a serial entrepreneur my whole life, starting this and that, and I was running a real estate company with a friend of mine. This was during the whole, you know, boom of 2008. Right around that area. And I was the techie guy of our group. I wasn't going to be in charge of the website and all that jazz. So I knew I didn't like WordPress at that time. I'd used it a couple times in the past and it was just a pain in the butt. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the maintenance you always had to do on it. I thought the UI on it was just, it was horrible. Right. And I still think it's horrible. So I'm sorry for all you people that love WordPress. I think it sucks. but I was looking for solutions out there and I wanted something that was, while I am a coder and a developer, like I enjoy WYSIWYG stuff and drag and drop and stuff. It's just more fun to use, right? I like using pretty things, mm-hmm. you know? And so RapidWeaver kind of fit the bill with that. I'd used it on a couple other things in the past. Well, kind of what got me into it, let me go back a little bit further. My original joeworkman.net website was done in iWeb. And I'm sure you've heard, you know, iWeb, that's Apple's old product.
Yeah,
and
wow.
And I remember one day I wanted to change my website theme in iWeb. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but to change your website theme in iWeb, you had to redo every single page.
Oh, man.
And I was just like, what? This sucks. Like, I have to redo everything? And RapidWeaver had this thing of themes. So like you can change the look of your entire site with just like changing the theme. And it was like, boom. And I was like, ah, that's what I want. That's what kind of got me started in RapidWeaver way back in the day, just on my kind of personal site that probably no one ever visited except my mom, you know?
That's what moms are for.
Yeah.
Internet traffic.
Yeah. So anyway, jump back to the real estate business. I was building the website and, you know, there was a few things that they didn't really have add-ons for. And I was like, I want to do this and that. And so I started developing like little add-ons for it for myself, basically just fulfilling needs for myself. And mm-hmm. one of the other add-on developers, a guy who's now one of my best friends, Isaiah, he was like, dude, this stuff's kind of cool. You might want to try selling it. And I was like, dude, no one wants to buy this stuff. Cause I was just giving it away for free on my website. Right. Yeah. So finally, one day, another colleague of ours was starting an e-commerce service, like a shopping cart software, and he was looking for beta testers. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll beta test it. I'll try to sell this stuff. And that was a service called Cartloom, which I still use today. Hmm. In July 2009, I put up my first add-on for sale for $5. And it's been awesome ever since. I get to do it full time now. What I like about RapidWeaver, sorry, I didn't really talk about RapidWeaver itself. What is it? It's a Mac app. So you design all of your website on your Mac. There is a plugin, an add-on called Stacks, which kind of allows you to build a website kind of like with Lego. Hmm. So like you have all these individual blocks that are called stacks. And that's pretty much what I am. I develop stacks, these little blocks, these Lego blocks. Hmm. And let's say I wanted a gallery here and I want, you know, an image here, a paragraph here, a three column with images and text. And you just build your thing out with all these blocks and every single block has a set of settings and whatnot. And I just thought it was a lot of fun. And I love developing with the API. And even now that I'm a pretty darn good web developer, I enjoy just dragging and dropping. I'll develop a little stack for myself and then like, you know, drag and drop and tweak settings instead of having to go into the code, right? Yeah. It's just more fun. Basically, with Rapidweaver, once you build it on locally in your Mac, then you just click the publish button. You have to have a host, obviously. You have to have a hosting company. And then you publish it up to your host, and there's your website. Wow. So it's kind of like it is a static website. There are online blogging solutions. I actually have one of them called Total CMS, which is one of my major products, which is like a whole online editing component for Rapidweaver.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. And what I'm hearing you say, and you've mentioned the word several times, is just fun. And so it's actually
fun. Yeah.
It's really refreshing to talk to someone who thinks that development can be fun.
Yeah. You know what? You've ever heard the saying that it's like, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, sort mm-hmm. of thing, you know? And I really do love what I do. Not to say some days customer support can be trying, you know, but, you know, ultimately I really do love what I do. I enjoy the products that I use, and I continue to use Rapidweaver and sell add-ons because I really do love it. It's fun.
Yeah, that's cool. So one of the things that I'm curious about as a developer, mm-hmm. how do you embrace the tension that exists between what you know and what you need to learn in order to grow and solve newer and larger problems?
I do play with things on the side, right? One of the things, you have little side projects. So 4 years ago, I had an idea during the last World Cup that I wanted to build a site that allowed you to easily see how your country did in past World Cups, right? So a few months ago, I realized that 4 years ago, I had this idea. I bought the domain, never did anything about it, right? And so a few months ago, I decided to, it was going to be my weekend project. So it's now worldcupbrackets.info. It only has the info from the last World Cup. I need to do the previous World Cups before that, but I have like the shell of everything done now. And it's really cool. I hand coded all of that because I was using some new technologies that I'd never used before. It is vital that we continue to, you know, learn new technologies or, you know, some new frameworks and things of that nature so that we can see how we can improve our existing products or see what works in the future, what isn't going to work, right? Because you definitely need to make sure that you're keeping up with times because things change so quickly,
yeah.
Right? It is very important to keep on top of yourself and learning new things and improving yourself. You know, self-improvement is another passion of mine where it's like, I didn't graduate from university, but I tell people that I graduated from UBN or U of A, right? University of Barnes and Noble or University of Amazon, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So now everyone who's listening can steal that. Feel free. You can steal that. So, but a lot of times people are like, oh yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh yeah. I know that place. Oh, that was good. Yeah. <You know? laughs> but yeah, I'm a huge proponent of constantly learning and improving yourself, and not only just coding as well. I mean, I read a lot of self-help books and, you know, productivity books and whatnot and business books. And it's really important to continue learning and doing side projects. Side projects are a fabulous way because it's not just learning. It's actually taking those things and applying it to a real life scenario, right? Like if you just read, it's not going to stick, right? But if you do it, that is the epitome of learning because you're never going to forget that if you do something, right?
Yeah.
So that's really important. Like I'm trying to teach my kids to code, and having them sit down at a computer and like type out code, like they couldn't care less, to be perfectly honest, right? They're just like, what the hell, right? But this year, my son joined high school and they have a robotics team. So he joined the programming team on the robotics team, and seeing that he is learning a little bit more because he's seen how it applies to a real life situation, right? Like controlling this robot's arm or making it drive forward when you click the go forward control. That seemed like more of a light bulb moment for him then than me trying to sit him down at a computer and say, type this if statement and you see this show up on the screen. Because it has no end goal for him. If you're learning something, try to apply it as quickly as possible to some sort of live project, I think.
That's really fascinating. And what I'm hearing too is I'm hearing nonstop self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And then side projects that test that self-improvement that you're doing.
Yes.
The question that I have, though, is how do you know what to choose? How do you know what to act upon? How do you know, like, that is a good idea. I'm going to devote time to that.
you don't know. you just, to be honest, you don't know, right? And that there are side projects that come out to be complete failures, and that's okay, right? A lot of times we learn more from our failures than we ever do on a successful project, right? You know, that's true for, like I said earlier, I was in a real estate business. That was a complete failure. I lost a lot of money doing that. But did I learn? Yeah, I learned a lot trying to build that business and a few other businesses even before that. It's those failures that kind of help us grow to be who we are now, right? I think failures are, you just can't be scared of failure. You just have to attack it and just say, you know what? I learned from that, on to the next thing. There are failures you're just like, oh, but you got to look, you got to try to find the good little things that are in there and not, you know, you have to kind of step back and look at it from a macro perspective and try not to get wrapped up into, oh, I'm a failure. I can't do anything ever again. You know, it's fine. Get back up. Keep going. It's important.
Nice. I like that. I've got several friends who have taught beginners how to program, and oftentimes the advice that is given to beginners is you must know the fundamentals. So you must know the if statement. You must know the non-sexy programming things. Because oftentimes when you're a beginner, you see what's out there and you want to do exactly that. It's like when you're learning how to play guitar, you want to play the solo perfectly, or Iron Man, or you want to play exactly that without knowing scales. But I don't disagree with that advice, but I'm curious what additional advice you would give to beginning programmers, or even programmers who have maybe stagnated in their growth.
Sure. It is somewhat important to learn fundamentals, right? But again, doing them in a real life situation. So like you can assign a variable and know what an if statement is. But if you don't realize that in a real life scenario, oh, really? That's when I use an if statement, or that's why I use a for loop so that I can do, you know, loop through this, you know, value set, right? Or something like that. Like I really feel that, you know, trying to apply that knowledge, even if it's very limited knowledge, to something that's tangible is a huge benefit. So yes, in programming specifically, is it important to learn what a variable is in an if statement? Yeah, but that's the premise of, you know, find one afternoon you can learn that stuff and then immediately try to find something that you can do to apply that knowledge, right? Because then once you go to the next iteration of, you know, beginner stuff, you'll really understand why you have this variable, why you use this if statement or for loop, or, you know, when to use a while loop or anything like that, right? What is an object, especially objects? I mean, I programmed for years without understanding what the hell an object was. You know, a lot of people try to cram that into beginners. Yeah. Does object-oriented programming allow you to have cleaner and more readable code for everybody in the world? Yes, but let them write spaghetti code first. It's fine. Like, who cares if it works, right? That's the important part. I look at my code that I wrote 5 years ago or even last year and I go, what the hell was I doing? Right? It is inevitable. You're always going to be improving it, but I would never got where I am today if I didn't write this spaghetti code of 10 years ago.
Well, and in that spaghetti code, if it didn't work and you were so obsessed with making it perfect, it might never work. And you might not get that dopamine hit when it works.
Exactly.
And you're like, yes.
Or learning to debug because, you know, you've written all the code and you're trying to go through. Yeah, beginners, you're going to spend a lot of time debugging, but you know what? That's where you're going to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So should everyone learn how to program?
Yes. Even if my kids don't become programmers, I want them to know how to become a programmer or understand, because one day if they're running a business or they're at a job and they have to interact with a programming team, they understand what it's about. Nowadays, everything is technology based. Everything is ran by programmers and whatnot. And even if you're not good enough to program yourself, as long as you understand what a programmer has to go through, I think it is very important for our world that everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's cool. One thing that's interesting about you, Joe, is that you also contribute to an online community. So how do you foster and build community with the Weaver Space?
So Weaverspace is a online community of all of my RapidWeaver users. It's a lot of fun. Actually, right now, if you go to visit it, it's actually down for maintenance. I'm moving it to a new server and a new subdomain for the new year. Because I'm actually moving all of JoeWorkman.net stuff, all of my products, over to the Weaverspace brand. Building a community has been really awesome. It's the driving force of my business, is my interaction with users. Because we live in a digital age, but people want to do business with people, right? So if you have a business, and I think this is a lot of the times where many developers fall short, is that they build up a cool website and it shows the product and it's really snazzy, right? Mm-hmm. But they're too scared to show themselves to the world, right? If you have an app, people want to do business with you. I mean, if you go to get your hair cut or something like that, if you have a barber that you really love because you have a relationship with them, you're going to keep going back to them. Or, you know, the mom and pop shop down the store, you know, because you know them. Or, you know, the small Mexican joint that I go to down the street because the lady's super nice to me. I could probably get just as good Mexican food down the street, but I like that lady, right? Yeah. So I go there. You know, I think in a digital world, it's more important than ever to get your face out there. This is a pet peeve of mine. People take time. They know video. They have to do a video, right? So they do a video and then it's like subtitled because they're too subconscious about their voice or their accent or something like that. Who cares? Who cares? We understand people in the world have accents. It's okay, yeah. Right? Just talk. We want to know you. Like, you know, the developer. Yeah, fine. If your app sucks, then, you know, that's something you got to fix. But if your app doesn't do a lot, that's okay. As long as people see you and they develop a personal relationship with you. And that's one thing that I think I've really done well. You know, I do a lot of video. People see that I'm the person behind it all, right? They get to know me. And not only that, but like every week, every Friday, for the past 2 or 3 years now, I've done hangouts with my customers. So anyone's invited, everyone can come. They meet with me, they chat with me. I have my regulars that come every single week from all across the globe. I get people from Hawaii to Australia to England to Scotland to Germany, right? All these people join in. Then we all join in online video chat. I mean, it's amazing time we live in. And you got to take advantage of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's really amazing how you can, like, I feel that all these people are like come like every week. They're my friends. Yeah, they're my customers and ultimately, but I look forward to Paul and Tav and Mike and, you know, from Europe that I see every week. You know, it's an amazing time. And if you're not capitalizing on building that personal touch on your digital business, you're missing out. And that could be the missing piece that you're missing in your business if all you have is screenshots of your app on your webpage.
Yeah. Well, I'm really intrigued by that too, because is this something that you learned through the failures and learned through the learning, or is this something that just comes inherently natural to you to be like, yeah, I'm going to include all these people?
A lot of people say I am very naturally outgoing and try to, you know, I'm a very friendly person, and I am. I'm not always like that. There are times that I have to push myself to do those things, but because I know it's important to myself, it is a learned skill. Mm-hmm. Okay. My son does this sometimes, right? My teenager, where he'll be like, all of a sudden he's in this thing where he classifies himself. Like, I'm an introvert, Dad. I'm not like you. Dude, come on. Like, push yourself through it. It's a learned thing. Okay. Anything can be learned. Even drawing can be learned. I'm a horrible drawer. I took a drawing class, like, and I remember I still have some of the things I did in this drawing class. It was in high school. I suck at drawing now. But like some of the stuff I drew when I was actually like learning how to do it, I amazed myself. It's a learned activity. Same thing with being interactive with people. Mm-hmm. At first, will it be hard? Sure, it will be. But just like anything else, you're going to be good at it eventually. If you keep doing it. Mm-hmm. It is a learned activity. None of this baloney of, oh, I'm an introvert. I'm not like you. It's all up in your head. You can push yourself to do anything. That's my feeling.
Yeah. No, that's really good. No, I'm always curious where people get their big ideas from too, because to me, that's a big idea of making sure that you're including yourself and others into your digital world.
Yeah, and And that's a great, some of the biggest ideas that I've had in my business haven't come from myself. I mean, I've had a few great ideas and I've done them, but they've come from those hangouts that I have with my customers because they tell me what they want. Now, here's another pet peeve. Like, okay, so a lot of developers, they'll be making an app. They're in this like closed shell and they're like, I'm developing this cool app. And then they try to get people to buy it. But what if you were to ask what people wanted first and then you built it? You know, the whole if you build it, they will come thing, field of dreams, that's not reality. Mm-hmm. Figure out what they want, then build it. And then half of them will come because the other half don't want to pay for it.
Are you sure that's half?
Yeah. So like my biggest product right now is Total CMS. And I developed the initial version 3 years ago in a hangout with a guy that wanted to update a little banner text for his son's, you know, rock climbing website. And now it's turned into a, you know, an amazing piece of software that I sell. It's one of my biggest selling pieces of software. It's awesome. And it all happened because I interacted with my customers.
Hmm. Powerful lesson.
Yeah.
And that leads me to the something that Kelly mentioned when she was introducing me to you. She mentioned that you are one of the most super clear people ever when it comes to business, that you quote unquote get it and often share about what it takes to run a business, which you've shared a lot mm-hmm. of really cool points today. But what do you think you understand that many people don't about business?
I think a lot of the thing has to do with the people thing, right? I think that that is a big part of it. Am I good at all aspects of business? Nah. You know, obviously, I'm still learning. You have to understand some things that you're good at. And for a while, you need to, you know, hone in on those things. And if you need to bring in somebody else to help you out with some aspects of things that either you don't want to do or you can't do, you could do that. Mm-hmm. Case in point, actually, just the past few weeks, I've actually finally set up a payroll service and a bookkeeping service to do all of that for my business. I've been either hodgepodging it together myself for the past few years or relying on my dad to help me with QuickBooks. And it's just, I mean, I dread it every year doing it. And it's not going to cost me a lot of money, right? It may be $1,000 a year or something like that, which in the grand scheme of things is nothing, yeah. Right? Absolutely nothing for a couple $1,000s a year. To hire a bookkeeping service so that the IRS doesn't come after me, you know, but outsourcing some things. I do feel that I'm in the stage where I'm going to try to bring in more people, not having that Superman complex where, you know, you feel like you have to do everything. I am that, you know, I try to do everything and I'm at the point where I finally realize that I need to bring in more people to help out, to do some things so that I can work on the bigger things of growing the business. I built a really great one-man show. I say that I do have an amazing support guy, Rob, that has been helping me for many, many years. And that's probably the first thing that if you ever want to start outsource your support, customer support, just answering the simple. I mean, I still do a lot of support, the more technical advanced stuff, but you know, getting someone in there to answer the everyday things that you don't really need to be bothered answering. That is a really big thing that probably should be your first thing. Now, here's a lesson that I learned, okay, doing this.
Yes.
This is a valuable lesson here, okay, because I lost a lot of money doing this. Hire your customers, okay, because they already know your products. They're already passionate about your products. In hindsight, it makes perfect sense to me now, but I tried to hire a couple people that were like, you know, either from a local college or recommended from a buddy. And I had to train them. They never used my products before. And every single one of it was a big fat failure. Lost of time. I wasted so much time training these people and getting after them to do work. And it was hire your customers. They're passionate already about you. They already know your products and you're going to love me for that advice.
What about other, what I'll call creative professionals, where maybe there isn't a digital product and they're struggling with the business side of their careers? What kind of advice would you give them?
It's still about being social as well, whether or not that social is online or beating the streets and getting the word out and letting people see your actual face. I think a lot of people are, their fear of failure and rejection is really probably ingrained in everybody. And part of what I did in the past is I was an Amway guy, and that really helped me actually get over rejection. And I mean, do I still feel rejection if, or, you know, fear of rejection if I go and talk to somebody? And of course I do. Mm-hmm. But it's about that, you know, what I said earlier, where you just have to push through. I can do it. You just need to get over that. Just get over it. So that fear of rejection, digital wise or in person, is extremely important. And I do think that even if you are, you know, a photographer and an artist, a creative person that isn't, you know, selling something online, it is important for you to have an online presence, right? I do think that this day and age, it is very important that you do, because people are going to be searching for your name online. They want to see your website. They want to see your portfolio or your art, you know, a gallery of your art online. They want to see some sort of, depending on what, maybe it's Pinterest, you know, find the social network that is good for your particular niche. And another thing, another business advice is niche. You cannot niche far down enough. You really can't. Trying to do broad things is going to be really extremely difficult. Try to niche down. So like, you know, if you're a photographer, what are you a photographer of? Do you niche in architecture, or is it wildlife? Is it family portraits, right? Like what is your niche?
Or Rapid Weaver add-ons.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can't get much nichier than that. You know, it's a small community. And then what you do is, you, once you chose that niche, you find where those people are, like online or in real life, okay? And you interact with them. I mean, I was a user of Rapid Weaver and, you know, helping people out on the Rapid Weaver forums for a long time before I started giving stuff away for free and whatnot, right? So it took a long time for me to build up that edification. So people knew who I was in the community. And now I've built up an authority where I run my own community and people are coming over to my things, right? But that wouldn't have happened if I wasn't involved and I didn't get involved in that niche. And again, it's all it's being social. Go to like meetup.com or something like that. Find other people that are in your area and network with them. It really is all about who you know. And if you just keep going out and keep meeting people, you're eventually going to meet the right person that maybe could give you that great idea that you need, or give you the deal that you need in a gallery or something like that. But none of that will happen if you just, you stay in your little shell.
That's awesome. Well, final question for you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you love hats and you get one on every trip.
Yes.
So what is your favorite hat and what story does it bring to mind when you think about that hat?
Sure. So I actually wore my favorite hat today.
Nice.
This is my favorite hat. I bought this hat in the Bahamas on me and my wife's 10-year anniversary. Obviously, that was an amazing trip. We went on a cruise and spent a week in Miami. It was just a great trip. And so I bought more than one hat that trip. I wear this one the most. It's just versatile. Again, it is the memories. Every hat I do buy, I like to buy it on a trip. It helps me remember that trip. Like, but this hat, it's a very versatile hat. It's a fedora for those that can't see. And I wear tons of different hats. I got cowboy hats, bowler hats, Newsies hats, like a Panama hat, you name it. I got all kinds of hats. But I love my hats.
Nice. Well, Joe, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work and just sharing about all that you do, where you find your inspiration from, and just sharing your passion for just, I don't know, being an awesome human being. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. As we close out 2017 and enter 2018, there's been a lot of great monologues, a lot of great interviews, and just a lot of great comments from each and every one of you that has reached out. Would you be willing to continue sharing Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms. Got a few moments to let me know what you think of the show? Head to Getting Work to Work on iTunes, click ratings and reviews, and either click the number of stars to rate the show or write a review. Thank you so much. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work, or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or just want someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com. I've got some awesome guests lined up for January. I'm looking forward to sharing them with you. But until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.